From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the Holy Spirit. In John 15:26 and 16:14, the Lord Jesus is explaining to his disciples that the chief function of the Holy Spirit is to testify of Christ. In John 16, verses 8 through 11, the Lord Jesus declared the Spirit's work in convicting the ungodly of their sin. His work in believers is to show them Christ and what they have in Him. As he continues this message, called The Revealer of Christ, Dr. Cairns details the various works of the Spirit in the lives of believers. Dr. Cairns will come to the message in a few minutes. First, he takes a brief moment to speak about our society's obsession with eternal youth, a subject with which he deals more fully in his booklet, A New Beginning, a publication designed for those who are serious about learning how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life.
I'm sure you've heard the saying, you're only young once. Behind that saying, there is usually the notion, now live it up while you can, because soon you're going to lose the physical ability and agility to go and do all the things that young people can do. I can see that there's a lot of truth in that, and when it comes to physical activity, things that you'd want to do, well, perhaps it's a good idea to do them while you have the physical ability to do them. But sadly, also behind this notion, you're only young once, means that you've only one chance to sow your wild oats, so get at it while you can. Now, of course, that's a tragedy. The Bible says, flee youthful lusts. This is a message for young people. Flee youthful lusts. Why? Because they war against the soul. They are weapons in the armory of the devil to destroy your life and damn your soul. So here's a message for youth. You may in this world be only young once, but remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. This is God's word to young people. If you want to live life, you'll live it to the full when you live it for Jesus Christ. The lives that count the most, the lives that are worth most in this world, are the lives that do most for the cause of God and Jesus Christ. The lives that are most helpful to humanity are the lives that are given over to the service of our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of the great missionary endeavors that have opened up continents and nations to bring them the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are the lives that have counted. Think of young men. If you can sometimes, some of you young people, get a biography of any of people who were called the Cambridge Seven. You'll read of seven young men, bright and brilliant, well-placed, many of them aristocrats, ready to go to the top of the tree in this world. But through the ministry of D.L. Moody, they were saved and they set out to do something great for God. I think of one of them, C.T. Studd. He went to Hudson Taylor's mission in China. He then opened up a large part of India, and when doctors said he was beyond it and he couldn't physically do it anymore, he went to the heart of Africa and opened up the heart of Africa to the gospel of Jesus Christ. A life of thrilling obedience to God. You think of the missionaries who laid down their lives and were slain by the Alka Indians. Indians now that have received the gospel, and many of whom have been led to the knowledge of sins forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. Flee youthful lust. They will war against the soul. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Know Him, love Him, believe Him, serve Him, make Him known. And you'll discover something, that when you receive eternal life, you receive from Christ eternal youth. Oh yes, the body will grow old, and the body will ultimately be laid in the grave. But there is a youth, there is an exuberant happiness that youth implies that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, throughout the eternity that God has laid before us, you will have body and soul in perfect union, in sinless enjoyment of Christ. You will have a youthfulness that will last as long as God lasts, a happiness and a holiness that will never be destroyed. So it's not really true that you're only young once. You're only young once if you waste your youth and your life on sin. But you'll be young forever if you come to know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life, theology, and the far-reaching influence of the great reformer John Calvin. Three leading Christian scholars provide helpful insights into the work of this much misunderstood spiritual giant as part of the observance of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on the Reverend Cecil Maneri. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the Czech Republic. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the best way to study the Bible? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
read today in John chapter 16, that the Holy Spirit would convict of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Now, by the way, always quote that text correctly. Do not mix it up with Paul's sermon to Felix. He does not come to convict of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. Of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. How does he do that? Have a look at it. He convicts of sin. Why? Because they believe not in me. Now, that's not to say that unbelief is the only sin of which the Holy Spirit will convict a sinner. That's not what it's saying. But he is saying the Holy Spirit will convict and convince men of sin. Whom does the Holy Spirit convict of sin? Over whom does the Holy Spirit suspend the wrath of God for sin? Against whose sin does the Holy Spirit witness the sin of unbelievers? The truth of this text is that the Holy Spirit comes to a man and he makes him feel his sin. But he witnesses to that man that Christ is the only atonement. And if you were a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit is no condemnation of your sin. What a truth that is. The Holy Spirit does not condemn a believer. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, who is he that condemneth? God justifies, Christ has died, Christ has risen. There's no condemnation to a believer. The Holy Spirit is not convincing or convicting in this basic sense of bringing sin up against a man to condemn him. He's not doing that for any believer because he says Christ is the only atonement. He convinces him of righteousness. Why? Because I go unto my Father. He's saying, look, Christ is the only acceptance. The only righteousness that God will accept is the righteousness of Christ. He convinces him of judgment. And he points him back to Calvary. And he shows him the broken-headed serpent. And he says, Christ is the only conqueror. And he is the judge. He who judged Satan will judge all Satan's seed. And he who broke Satan will break all Satan's seed. He is the conqueror. Whatever the Holy Spirit has to say to men ultimately brings them back to Christ. It's the same in salvation. How does he save a man? He points him to Christ. When he brings a man under conviction, he points him to Christ as the way out of conviction, the way out of bondage into liberty. When the Ethiopian eunuch was on his way, pondering the scriptures, wondering about the truth, wondering how he could come to the knowledge of the great things of which the prophet was writing. What was the Holy Spirit's ministry? He took a preacher and he sent him down and he preached unto him Jesus. When Cornelius was feeling his need of salvation and God said, send for Peter and he will show you or tell you things whereby you will be saved. What was the Spirit's ministry? He told Peter, go and preach. And he gave him what to preach. And what was he preaching? To him give all the prophets witness. And he's preaching salvation through the name of Christ. And just like that, the Holy Spirit comes down and saves Cornelius. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, when he saves a man, always leads him to Christ. My friend, let me tell you this. If you're in this meeting this morning and you're persuading yourself you're saved, and if your hope of salvation is that you're a Lutheran or a Baptist or a Presbyterian or whatever, and your hope of salvation is, as I have been told by people, the date you joined the church and the mode by which you were baptized, I want to tell you, you are not yet a subject of the gracious saving ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never leads a man to trust a church or a sacrament or a profession or a work. He only leads him to trust in Christ. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And once you are saved, he has a work of illumination. That's one of the great neglected topics among Christians. An illuminated mind, an enlightened understanding. You know, Christians have darkened, dulled consciences. So often they can do things that you wonder, how can a Christian ever do them? And the reason for it is that their understanding is not enjoying daily the floodlight that the Holy Spirit should be turning upon them. What is that illumination? We have read it today in John chapter 16. The Holy Spirit coming to guide you into all the truth, speaking not of Himself, but speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. How often have I quoted to you the words of Ephesians 1 and verse 17? If you haven't gathered, if you listen to me week by week, if you haven't gathered by now, that this is a prayer that you ought to be praying constantly. I don't know how I can make it clear to you. Paul prayed for the Ephesians, the very first petition he had to ask God for this people was that He would give them the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation in or unto the knowledge. The word signifies the full knowledge, the complete knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit shows you Christ. He does the same in sanctification. How does the Holy Spirit make a man holy? 2 Corinthians 3:18 will tell you how He makes him holy. In the Word of God, as we look into that mirror, He shows us Christ. That's the wonderful thing about Scripture. You look into any other mirror and you see yourself. Now there is a sense that I see myself when I look into the Bible. But the unique thing about this spiritual mirror is that when I look into it, I see Christ. You look into an ordinary mirror, and what is there is reflecting what's on the outside. But here in this divine mirror, you look into it, and you see Christ, and what's on the outside is changed to look like what's on the inside. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Oh, that's the wonder of the Spirit's work. That's how He makes you holy. You don't get holy just by willpower. You don't get holy just by screwing up your resolve. You don't get holy just by taking a guilt trip and saying, well, now because I did that, I've got to counterbalance it by doing that. That's not how you get holy. You don't get holy just by repression and suppression. Holiness, my friend, does involve a battle with the old man. It does involve a battle with the world. It does involve a battle with the devil. But holiness is wrought within the life when we do what the Savior says and search the Scriptures. When the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us in Scripture, and the more He shows us of Christ, the more He will conform us to the image of Christ. And that is the work of sanctification. In our tribulation, in our confrontations with the devil and the enemy of our souls, what does the Holy Spirit do? He shows us Christ. You remember Joshua? Others could sleep, but Joshua couldn't. He was on the eve of the greatest battle of his life. He was going to seek to take the oldest fortified city now known to man ever to have existed, the city of Jericho, an impregnable fortress. What could he do? And as he paced around in the wee small hours, he met with Christ. Ah, there, in a nutshell, you have what God the Holy Spirit does to His people in all their tribulations. My friend, when you are going through the valley of trouble, when there are trials and when there are temptations, when you're confronted with every sort of fury that would break your mind and break your heart, you would need God the Holy Spirit to show you Christ. And He'll comfort you, and He'll strengthen you, and He'll encourage you, and he'll give you victory. And what does the Holy Spirit do in glorification? Does he not? Even when you get to heaven, what does he do there? Is he not still showing you Christ? Did Paul not say in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12, "Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face"? I think of those wonderful words of the psalmist in Psalm 17 and verse 15. "As for me," others can say and do as they will. Others can plan and scheme as they will. Others can set their sights on various goals. But as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That's heaven, you know. That's heaven. Oh, you talk about the gold in the street. That's the least part of heaven. People sing about the pearl-hung gates, and I'm very happy to read what the Bible has to say about those gates. But those, again, are among the least parts of heaven. People talk about us meeting our loved ones in heaven, and I thank God for every loved one that we will meet in heaven. But again, dare I say it today, these would be among the lesser parts of heaven. What is the glory of heaven? The Lamb is all the glory. And glorification will consist first in the sight of Christ. We will see Him whom, having not seen, we love. We see Jesus. We'll not only see Jesus, but there will be a complete similarity to Jesus. We will be like Him. And when we see Him, and when we're totally like Him, then will we be satisfied. You know, that would make any place heaven, to see Christ and to be like Him. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in every area of Christian experience. It is to reveal Christ. Now let me very quickly show you how this applies. This is the doctrine. Can I give you the reason for this first of all? I want to be very quick here, for I do want to get on to something that's very simple and very practical. But the reason for this is that God is glorified in Christ. God cannot be glorified apart from Christ. The glory of God shines in the face of Jesus Christ. And if Christ is omitted, then the glory of God is omitted. That's why the Holy Spirit is always glorifying Christ. There's another reason why He's always glorifying Christ. And my, how blessedly simple and yet sublime this is. The Holy Spirit is always glorifying Christ because the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to the need of every man, of every nation, of every period, in every situation. That's why the Holy Spirit is always speaking of Christ, because Christ is the answer. He is the answer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepress.org. That's faithfpc@freepress.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepress.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.